This is a Suno India production, and you're listening to the Suno India Show.
The COVID pandemic and the subsequent lockdown imposed by the Indian government has unleashed unprecedented economic hardship on the most vulnerable sections of the country. It has also put the unorganized labor force and migrant workers in peril, with many thousands walking to their hometowns, with many hundred dying before they reach their destination. Amidst this humanitarian crisis, some BJP-ruled state governments have significantly reformed the labor laws. On May 6, the UP government announced the suspension of 35 out of the total 38 labor laws in the state for the next 3 years. Central laws like the Minimum Wages Act, Payment of Bonus Act, and Payment of Wages Act will not be applicable in Uttar Pradesh. However, Section 5 of the Payment of Wages Act, the Building and Other Construction Workers Act 1996, the Workmen Compensation Act 1923, and the Bonded Labor System Abolition Act 1976 have been exempted from the ordinance. The Chief Minister of Madhya Pradesh, Shivraj Singh Chauhan, also made an announcement to exempt the employers from their substantive obligations under various labor laws like Factories Act, Madhya Pradesh Industrial Relations Act and Industrial Disputes Act, Contract Labor Act, etc. through appropriate amendments by executive order or ordinance for a period of 1,000 days, that is 3 years, empowering the employers to hire and fire workers at their convenience. And there will be no labor department's intervention in the establishments during the said period. Not only that, the employers were also exempted from payment of Rs. 80 per laborer to Madhya Pradesh Labor Welfare Board. In order to revive the economic condition, many state governments, including Himachal Pradesh, Punjab, and Rajasthan, have extended the daily working hours from 8 hours to 12 hours for a time period of 2 to 3 months in the factories. As per the Labor Department of Rajasthan, the additional working hours will help to restore full supply of essential goods while ensuring minimal presence of people in manufacturing and distribution. The Karnataka government is also considering relaxing laws governing minimum wages, increasing current overtime working hours, and easing compliance with key labor legislations. Hi, I'm Kunika Balhotra, and for this episode of The Suno India Show, I reached out to Gautam Modi, General Secretary of the New Trade Union Initiative, to understand more about the reformed labor laws and how these changes would affect the workers and the employers. The New Trade Union Initiative is a countrywide trade union center that represents workers across just about every state and every sector in this country. Madhya Pradesh government has proposed changes to the labor laws in the state. So what are the consequences of this decision will be on the workers?
Well, several state governments have proposed changes. It's Gujarat, Himachal Pradesh, Madhya Pradesh and Uttar Pradesh. That's the situation right now. We don't know if others will step in. Madhya Pradesh government is effectively proposing to offer employers a complete break from the Factories Act, which would include both having no regulation over working hours, but also not providing very basic things like toilets, rest areas, and of course, no health and safety norms. The Uttar Pradesh government, of course, is doing very much more than that. It's saying a complete freeze on all labor law for 3 years, moratorium on all labor law for 3 years, with the exception of the Workmen's Compensation Act, which would take care of compensation in the case of death or accident. For some strange reason, the Building and Construction Workers Act, possibly because they say loosely in their cabinet note, laws relating to children and women, we presume the Child Labor Act and the Maternity Benefit Act. So what we're looking at is effectively no right to trade unions, no right to minimum wage, no right to collective bargaining, and of course, not even right to health and safety. But worse, we're going to see many Bhopals across the country. We're also going to see a complete crushing of working people, a lowering of labor standards, the reduction of the wage, people being worked to death. The Prime Minister yesterday expressed anguish over the death of the 16 workers who made a railway track their bed by night. Prime Minister does not understand what the source of his anguish is. The BJP government has created this crisis. It's thrown workers overboard. It's thrown the entire working class off the edge. It's forced it into hunger and destitution. And now it wants to use the opportunity of the pandemic lockdown to take away basic labor rights enshrined not just in international law, but protected by our constitution.
The government has also said that this ordinance is for a period of 1,000 days, that is 3 years. And the employers would have the power to hire and fire the workers as per their convenience, and there would be no intervention of the Labour Department for these 3 years. So on what basis was this decision made, and what redressal mechanisms will be available to workers?
On what basis 3 years? I have no idea what they expect to achieve in 3 years. What have they achieved in 6 years? They took the economy down. I mean, they took the economy apart. The lockdown has killed it. And what they're saying is, if you squeeze wages and labor rights, they'll actually revive the economy. Let me for a moment, I mean, I am a trade unionist, and obviously I'm most of all concerned about the lives of the working class. But let me set aside the lives of the working class for a moment. How are we going to get out of the economic mess and the catastrophic situation that the lockdown has pushed us into unless working people have better wages, can consume better? What was the source of the economic crisis before the lockdown? Everybody recognized the source of the economic crisis was a lack of demand. Lack of demand of whom? By whom? Lack of demand by people who consume Rolls Royces and private jets? No. There was a clear expression by economists, irrespective of ideology, that the lack of demand was broad-based, lack of demand by the working class, very low wages, which needed to be raised. What did Mr. Modi's government do? What did the BJP government do? It lowered corporate taxes. And it actually legislated a wage code which effectively creates a floor wage that is lower than the minimum wage. It's been an ideological effort of the BJP to constantly undermine the working class, most significantly to lower the wage and to really do away with trade union rights. What the BJP wants is a dehumanized working class, because they do not see working people as human beings. They merely see them as a factor of production. So how they've come to 3 years, what they will achieve in 3 years is a question I'm afraid you'll have to ask them. This country is in the need of more labor law, a much higher minimum wage, a much more stringent regulation of health and safety. And of course, all of that nowhere in the world has come without trade union rights.
Like they have already increased the working hours from 8 hours per day to 12 hours per day for 3 months without lawful compensation to the laborers as per the Factories Act. So how will this help the economy if there are plans to decrease the minimum wage? Will it not increase the differences between the haves and the have-nots?
Yes, but what they're saying, I mean, look, the 8-hour struggle is a century-old struggle, more than a century-old. What the BJP government is trying to do is actually take us back a century and a half. If you get into the history of the fight for working hours, it began in Western Europe in the early 19th century. In our country, it began in the 1870s. We achieved our first Factories Act in 1881. What this means for the wage, what it means for the economy, and what it means for society is genuinely alarming. I mean, these are draconian and inhuman laws that existed in the 19th century.
Is it even legal for the states to do this? Like, can the courts reverse this decision?
Well, it's not just about the courts. It's actually for the precedent of India. When there is a law legislated by national parliament on the concurrent list, state governments are required to, which is what they have announced they will do, is to seek presidential assent. Now, the understanding of state power to legislate on the concurrent list is that states must offer more, that state legislation must be a better legislation. So in a way, central legislation sets the benchmark, and if there are states that are in a position to do better for working people in the case of labor law, they must do so. Now, the president is going to be presumably looking at these requests or applications or whatever they are before him. Hope he looks at them with a lot of care, or he believes that his job is just to sign on anything that comes from a BJP government, be it at the center or the states. So the first step is presidential assent. We would hope the president would apply his mind. I think the entire working class of this country is at this moment looking at the precedent applying. Obviously, somebody will take it to the courts, as they should. It's too early to tell at this stage. But to have faith in the judiciary at this point is as difficult as having faith in this government. This is a battle for the working class, for the Indian working class. It's a battle that has to be fought out on the street, city squares, villages. And that's where this government's draconian measures are going to be tested. I think the task is for the progressive end of the trade union movement to fight this fight, to provide leadership to this fight. It calls for an enormous amount of unity. It calls for an enormous amount of capacity to unite across political thought and organizations. That's where the real fight will be fought. When that fight is fought, and we do expect it, that all of us will join in. A large number of our organizations met, yes, early this morning to discuss these. We spoke briefly, got connected. We've been discussing this since this has been happening. We've, you know, been doing what we can, and we need to do a lot more.
Also, there are many who claim that the existing labor laws are not conducive for ease of business and are calling the scrapping of these laws a good move. So what do you think about this?
No labor law is ever good for capital and for business. Any law that gives workers rights is always something that business is ideologically opposed to. But who's ever stopped businessmen from doing business in this country? Who's ever stopped industrialists from being competitive? Workers? Can one industrialist point out how they were not globally competitive because of workers or trade unions? This is ideological hogwash. Apart from ideological hogwash, it's institutionalized agendas of capital to lower wages and to undermine workers' rights. Various laws have already, labor laws were undermined over the last 6 years. Various BJP state governments, Madhya Pradesh, at that time Maharashtra, of course Rajasthan, known famously as the Rajasthan model, has investment poured into those states. There's in fact just come out a study by the government's, the Ministry of Labor's V.V. Giri National Labor Institute. I just saw that report a couple of days ago. Which says that there has been no significant increase in investment or productivity because of the reduction or because of the lowering of labor standards in these states. Fixed term contracts were introduced in the whole country 2 years ago, but my memory serves me right, introduced in the garment and textile sector 4 years ago. Has this helped India become more competitive? Has it created more jobs? Have India's exports and garment gone up? The answer to all these questions is no. China, which is actually more expensive in terms of labor costs than India, its garment exports go up year on year at a rate faster than India. I'm not talking, going into the countries in other parts of the subcontinent in Southeast Asia where labor costs are lower. There, of course, yes, garment exports rise. But India's capital is inefficient. India's businessmen want things on the platter. And part of the platter is give them the working class on the platter. And the BJP government under the leadership of Mr. Narendra Modi is doing just that and using the pandemic to leverage just that.
What does the scrapping of these Industrial Dispute Act mean for the workers?
What does the Industrial Dispute Act do? The Industrial Dispute Act sets a framework in which the rights of workers and employers are protected in an ongoing establishment and are subject to certain levels of regulation. There is an alteration of that establishment for closure. Suspending the Industrial Disputes Act makes it free for all. Employers can do what they want, when they want, how they want. Of course, it affects workers very badly because you can actually be removed from employment without provisions of Chapter 5A and 5B of the Industrial Disputes Act. You can actually be pushed around in the shop floor. Very importantly, a lot of these provisions are actually provisions to protect not just against exploitation, but also against victimization. You do not unfairly treat someone who is a union member. That would amount to an unfair labor practice where you victimize someone. We're already seeing it happening as the economy is slowly coming back to work. in many workplaces where, on grounds of social distancing, it shouldn't have been called social distancing, it should have been called physical distancing, employers are calling back a smaller number of workers than the full complement. And they're deliberately not calling those who are union members, active union members, union activists, union leaders. Now, this amounts to an unfair labor practice, which should be a dispute or is a dispute under the Industrial Disputes Act. If you virtually repeal the Industrial Disputes Act, under what provision do you actually file a complaint? So, in fact, as the lockdown unfolds, many employers will do their best to actually ensure that where there was a union, there is no union by keeping union members out, by dividing the workforce in a factory or whatever that establishment is.
Also, now that these labor law reform are being reformed, what is the plan of action of the trade unions now?
We have to fight. We have no choice. We are locked in place. Many, many trade unionists have been denied transit passes. There are even instances where trade unionists have been locked down by forcing them into government quarantine locations to keep them from doing what we do. Workers and their unions are going to resist. They resist in large numbers. I think we're seeing resistance in various forms. Mr. Modi may not be able to see beyond whatever those candlelights or diyas or talis or thalis that he calls are for. But workers have, through the last several days, stood in their alleys, by their windows, on their streets, as far as they can go, in ones, twos, tens, fifteens, maintaining physical distance, wearing face masks, holding up posters for their rights, holding up placards for their rights. That resistance is on. It never went away. And it actually never went away from the street. It's just a question of numbers. That's just a matter of time.
Also, sir, you talked a bit about the migrant crisis and the deaths of the migrants on the railway tracks. Could you tell us more about it? Like, what do you think about these crises and during this lockdown?
All workers are the same. No doubt some workers are more affected than others. Obviously, the best paid workers who are government employees are better off. They have government-provided houses. They don't face that extremity of crisis. There are those in the private sector who have more secure jobs, who've taken a hit, but still been able to face it to some extent. There are workers who come from the countryside into cities for some part of the year or stay for lengths of period of time, years on end at some point. They have less secure employment, they have low levels of income, wage payment, and they have poor quality accommodation. What have they said? All they're seeking is their right to go home. And here is a heartless government which is saying, no, you stay here. And then finally under pressure. Who says there's no resistance? In a world where the mainstream media is controlled by corporates who are beholden to government, there's no reporting. In which state are the largest protests? The protests have taken place in the state of Gujarat. The protests have taken place in the city of Surat. Nobody in the mainstream press has reported that. The government finally, under pressure, started trains. Then, under pressure, they were forced to say those trains would be for free because they thought they could actually make a little bit of money out of it. You know, this is a government that has the mind of a petty businessman. And then suddenly the government of Karnataka woke up and found if all these workers go away, who's going to show up at the construction sites? Worse still, the workers who are present may demand more wages, so stop the trains. This is the case of a truly heartless government, led by a truly heartless party that is exactly what I said when I began. The BJP and its government do not believe workers are human beings. If they believe they're human beings, then they for sure believe that the working class is a lesser being that has no right to human feeling, no right to emotion, no right to want, no right to desire, no right to family, and no right to very much else. apart from the right to freedom of speech, the right to freedom of eating what we want or wearing what. This is a crisis that they created, and they continue to create at every stage because they actually do not believe that the working class are the same level, are the same level of human being as Mr. Modi, his industrialist friends, and their cohort. We are no doubt in a very grave public health crisis, and I think we need to recognize that this public health crisis has been aggravated and accentuated by a lockdown that was ill-timed, had no planning, and has no agenda, and is led by a rudderless government that's constantly trying to put the blame on people at large, put the blame on state governments led by other parties other than the BJP, constantly passing the buck. I think what a pandemic of this scale is teaching us is that it's the public purpose above all that brings us together as a society. It's the common good. And finally, it's not the CEOs and the CFOs who drive this world who are necessary for our survival, but it's the most exploited worker, the worker who works on contract, the worker who comes from the countryside to the city to make the cities workable, the Anganwadi worker, the ASHA worker, the sanitation worker, the janitor, the ward boy, the nurse, all of whom are amongst the most exploited workers in this country. The girls and boys working in grocery shops, in the transport sector. It's they who make our world happen, who make our lives happen. And it's common purpose that will stop where their exploitation will end is where we will be a livable, a just, fair, equitable, and democratic society.
As of the time of recording this episode, 7 states have amended or proposed amendments to labor laws through ordinances. Responding to these drastic dilution of labor laws, the International Labor Organization said that the amendments to labor laws should be done only after a consultation between the government, workers' organizations, and employers' organizations. The ILO further said that India should also strengthen the social dialogue, collective bargaining, and labor relation institutions and processes for implementing solutions. Closer home, the RSS-affiliated Bharatiya Mazdoor Sangh has decided upon a 3-phase protest from 16th to 31st May. In the first phase, the state units of BMS will send letters to district authorities on local issues of non-payment of wages, job losses, relief measures to unregistered workers, migrant workers, etc. In the second phase, the BMS workers will hold district-level protests and in industrial estates while conforming to social distancing. While in the last phase, the BMS will organize sectoral-level conventions on the issue of changes in labor laws and demand their withdrawal. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Suno India Show. As an independent platform, we rely on you, our listeners, to support our work. Do check out our website, sunoindia.in, to know more. And don't forget to subscribe to this show on any podcasting app of your choice.